B2B marketers, they really need to understand how to leverage AI to work smarter, to keep up times, to be more efficient. However, I don't see AI replacing the role of a B2B marketer in the organization. The human connection will always remain the most important. People want to build relationships. They want to have a personalized touch.
Welcome to B2B Content Strategist, where we bring you insights and practical tips straight from the minds of top B2B content marketing experts. I'm Amy Woods, founder and CEO of Content 10X, and in each episode, I chat with leading B2B marketers about how they consistently craft and execute successful campaigns, even when faced with tight deadlines and limited resources. If you're looking to elevate and optimize your content marketing efforts, you're in the right place. Keep listening. Hello and welcome to the B2B Content Strategist podcast. I'm your host, Amy Woods, and today I'm joined by Jess Larkin, Director of Strategic and Financial Services Marketing at Confluent. Confluent is a data streaming platform that helps modern businesses make better, faster decisions by connecting real-time data across systems, acting like a central nervous system. At Confluent, Jess leads the company's strategic marketing efforts across key verticals with a focus on financial services. She works closely with regional sales teams to build one-to-one, one-to-few, and one-to-many programs that fuel pipeline and strengthen customer relationships. In this episode, Jess shares how her team use content to power account-based marketing, not just by creating new assets, but by repurposing what already exists in smart, personalized ways. We also talk about the structure behind successful ABM, including how sales, marketing, and customer success teams work together on dedicated account pods to drive real impact. This is a fantastic conversation. I'm sure you're going to love it, so let's jump in. Jess, welcome to B2B Content Strategies Podcast. It's great to have you here.
Amazing, Amy. So happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm really appreciative of your time, and I'm sure this is going to be a fantastic conversation. Thank you so much for being here. To kick off this conversation, what would be fantastic would be, please, could you, I guess, just summarize your role and a few sentences as well about what Confluent does.
Yeah, absolutely. So at Confluent, I lead our vertical and strategic marketing motions. We're hyper-focused on generating pipeline, accelerating deal velocity, but the customer journey is also paramount in everything that we do. So in addition to that, I also own our financial services industry events. If you're unfamiliar with Confluent, data in motion is really becoming a foundational part of modern companies. Confluent's cloud native platform is designed to really unleash all of that real-time data. It acts as the central nervous system in companies, letting them connect all of their application around real-time streams. And that gives them the opportunity to react and respond intelligently to everything that happens in their business. And then here at Confluent, I have an incredible team of seasoned marketers. They're absolutely amazing. And everybody on my team aligns closely with specific sales regions. So the team focuses on one-to-one, one-to-few, and a variety of one-to-many programs with the goal, again, of earning our customers' love, but also with pipeline growth. It's an exciting time, and I love what I do every single day.
It sounds fantastic. And how would you profile a typical customer? What do they tend to look like?
Yeah, our customers run the gamut across all different industries. We have a heavy focus in financial services, but retail, manufacturing, there's a use case for data streaming in every industry, and we touch multiple horizontal use cases as well.
Making the marketing efforts, I'm sure, all the more interesting and challenging.
Interesting, challenging, but really makes us adept at mastering scale and how we can leverage different things in different ways.
And could you tell me a little bit about your team? So I know it sounds like you've got a fantastic team. So what does that look like in terms of the roles and how you structure the effort, so to speak?
Absolutely. So my team each aligns to specific sales territories, and we focus on various vertical selling teams. that we have. Financial services is a big area for us. Also, telecommunications. And then we have our friends in digital native as well. So everybody on our team supports a specific sales area with a specific industry that they're honed in on.
Interesting. And then from an in-house versus outsource perspective, so are there particular things that you always like to keep in-house and then other aspects of the marketing effort that you tend to prefer to lean on external expertise, like agencies, freelancers, that kind of thing? So do you have any preferences over how you like to manage that balance and mix?
Yeah, I think ultimately it's important to have a blend of in-house versus vendor-led activities, but the right vendors are key to this. You need to find the vendors that really serve as an extension of your team and understands the value props and works well and cohesively with everything that you're doing. I will say I do prefer to keep content in-house. Way back when I started marketing, I was a content marketer. Internal writers really live and breathe the voice of a brand. And I feel like it's increasingly more difficult to find an outsourced content writer that can hit the marks in a short period of time without extensive revisions. And a lot of time when we have a need to have content turned by the next quarter or something along those lines, there's not often the ramp time that you would have for some other types of partners or vendors that you would source. That being said, though, I love leveraging third-party organizations to help drive delegate acquisition or sponsor different key programs in market, regional field events, if you will. I think it does a great job in helping us expand our reach into various customer and prospect accounts. It gets our sales reps in front of people that maybe they never would have had the opportunity to engage with. And I think certain creative services, photography and videography, as well as graphic design, those are other elements of marketing that I think can be outsourced quite effectively. Just on the graphic design front, I think as long as you find a designer that's able to stay in line and with your style and brand guidelines, you're usually in a pretty good place there.
It's obviously just so critical to remain on brand is when providing that kind of support and service.
Voice of brands.
Yeah. What would you say when you were saying about really working with suppliers like vendors that are a partnership and an extension of the team? What do you consider to be some of the big ticks in the boxes? So if you're maybe early stage with working with an outsourced supplier, say a designer, like you said, what are the big comforting like feelings that you have of this does that these boxes are being ticked that mean to me that this is going to be a good partnership? This is like they're going to extend onto our team and really work well with us.
For me, a lot of it comes down to preparation. If I'm getting on the phone with a graphic designer, I'll always make sure to send a scope of the project as well as some assets that we have in-house, our brand guidelines, as well as examples of other pieces that I've seen in the market that I like. So having a designer come to a call prepared and ready to say, okay, great, I see that. Like just come with their ideas and a perspective on it. And also somebody that delivers on time or at least is very communicative and says, hey, we planned on this. The scope changed. We need to bump this out. Just make me aware, be a great communicator. And that goes such a long way.
Yeah, I completely agree. Do what you say and do it on time and communicate, but also the prep. I had a call with a vendor, somebody to work with not that long ago, who'd asked for various things in advance, which I thought was really good because that shows they're going to, you know, do a bit of research beforehand and things like that. And then on the call, he didn't even know what we did. Like he hadn't looked at a single thing I'd have sent. And I was thinking, have you not even looked at our website, let alone the things I sent? And it was just a process that he followed to the pretense of doing research by asking for these things. But actually when he was on, like he didn't know what we did. I wanted to close the call there and then.
And it makes your confidence meter fall.
Absolutely.
Way down when you're in those scenarios. It's like, all right, well, if we can't even get through call one, how is this relationship going to progress? How are we going to earn trust?
Exactly. It's gone. End the call. So I completely understand and relate to that. So across your career, not necessarily in your current role, though perhaps in your current role, but just reflecting across all of your experiences, would you be able to share what you consider to be one of the most memorable marketing campaigns that you've been involved in? Not necessarily the most successful, but like to you, something that's just always really memorable. And I guess why that's the case and what was important and what were the success measures of that?
Yeah, I have one clear standout in my mind, and it was actually last year. We ran our first ever Financial Services Leader Summit in New York at NASDAQ MarketSite. And I got the amazing opportunity to be the lead for this program. It was brand new. We had never done any specific industry programs to that magnitude for outside of the public sector at Confluent. And this event required so many teams across our organization to come together. We created a thoughtful agenda for the people in the room. Sales was engaged. Sales was pulling in customer speakers to tell their stories and highlight their use cases. We had our entire onboard for the program, and we had partner marketing, branding creative, product marketing, customer, you name it. Everybody came together to make this program a success. And we all had a few common goals going into this, and we aligned on those right out of the gate. So basically, we wanted to create a program that highlighted innovation, what was being done. We wanted to spur peer-to-peer networking. We wanted our team to have the opportunity to build face-to-face relationships with the folks in the room. And ultimately, we wanted to create that FOMO effect. We wanted our guests to walk away with the fear of missing out. They had talked to their peers, they had heard all these amazing use cases. And now we wanted them to bring that back to their organizations and say, hey, I heard about this today. I didn't even know this was possible. How can we get this rolling? And I think the icing on the cake for that day, it was our 30th anniversary for listing on the NASDAQ. So we actually got to do the opening bell ceremony and ring the opening bell and be in Times Square afterwards in New York. It was just such an incredible day with an incredible group of people that worked so hard for a common goal. It was awesome.
How long would you say that you were working on that from the initial opportunity to seeing it through?
90 days.
Really? Oh,
It was
okay.
it was an opportunity that came a little bit at a shorter runway that we would have typically seen for a program of this magnitude, but everybody just banded together. And when we thought about the success metrics, we were obviously looking at the pipeline generated and influenced from it. But ultimately, it was the feedback we received from our guests and having our sales guys and our leadership team just pumped up with great energy from the day, from the use cases that were shared, and then taking that back into everything they did and the conversations they had as a follow-up. It was really great. And we're actually prepping for the second round of that event. It'll be coming up here in June, and then we'll do another run of it in London the following week.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see this program really get its legs and start to run.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Were there any unexpected success metrics that came out? I'm sure you went in with like various like really key things you wanted to achieve, but when you got that feedback, was there anything that you were like, well, we didn't even see this as a benefit of this 90-day piece of work?
That's a great question. I think what came out of this, which was a wonderful surprise to me, is some of the folks that were in that room reached out as a follow-up and said, hey, please keep me in mind to speak at future events. I'd love to share my story, my use case as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And has that transpired? Are any of those people going to be, or is that under
Stay
wraps?
tuned.
Brilliant. That's awesome. So it wouldn't be a podcast episode with me if I didn't talk about repurposing a little bit. So, in terms of the different types of content that you guys create, do you have a favorite type of content that you like to really make the most of and repurpose and turn into other things beyond its original core format?
Absolutely. And I think being hyper-focused on account-based marketing for the last half a decade or more, probably closer to a decade now, I'm a really big fan of taking content that was written for a broader audience, the one-to-one pieces of content, and repurposing those core assets to bridge the gap for a one-to-one flavor. I think you can understand the pain points with an account. There could be a white paper out there that really checks all the boxes for where you are in the journey that customer is on. But then you can take that white paper and adjust it and personalize it to be customer specific, to highlight the use case that we're focused on for them. And it goes a long way too. Then you have it professionally laid out and you have an executive POV at the front end of it, like bookending the paper, saying, hi, XYZ team. We thought you would really enjoy this paper. We've customized it for your specific use case journey, wherever we're sitting. And then you hand them that document digitally, however you want to produce it. You can bring it on site to meetings with that team as well. And it's a great way for the customer to feel like they're getting complete, undivided, one-to-one white glove service from you, but also to bring these broader themes or whatever that paper is focused on down to the one-to-one level for them. I think you can do that with white papers or just one example. I think various online talks or webinars, that content is gold. Then you can customize it for a specific account, and whether you bookend it, whether you bring in specific use cases and pepper it throughout the actual talk track, there are so many opportunities to repurpose core assets to bridge that one to many to one to few.
Just a super quick break from this conversation to let you know that if you're a B2B technology or professional services company and you want help with streamlining your content operations, outsourcing your content repurposing is the number one way to produce more high quality content and boost your ROI without putting any more pressure on your team. In fact, it could save your team up to 30 hours per week. We offer content repurposing services for video and audio content. Whether you have a show or you're launching a brand new one, maybe you have an archive of awesome content, be it webinars or a virtual event, or you want help creating thought leadership content that we can repurpose, we've got you covered. Head to content10x.com to see how we can help you and start increasing your efficiency and the value you get from your content. Now, back to the conversation.
I absolutely love that answer, and it's a bit unique, actually. We haven't had anyone specifically say that so far in this season of B2B content strategist. So I love it. Yeah, like, it's such a great example of feeding the account-based marketing with really great content with some specific tailoring for the accounts. And I love that white papers, videos. I can see the opportunity there. So yeah, that's fantastic. Would you say that you repurpose content as much as you would like to in that regard? Or are there just some challenges in terms of seeing that opportunity, but not always managing to act upon it?
You know, that's a really good question. It's an interesting one. I think it really, so when we think about account-based marketing and selling motions, we have this notion of the account pod, where you have a set team focused on an account. So you have sales, you have customer success, solutions, engineering, marketing, all those cross-functional partners. And it's really one of those scenarios where this comes up in the regular weekly or bi-weekly meetings with the team. Hey, with this account, we're hyper-focused on whether it's a competitive takeout play, whatever the case may be, or driving a specific element of our product suite. What are the team's thoughts on how we can move the needle here? And then if everybody's leaning in, because it does really take, when you think about these dedicated one-to-one account motions, you need a team that understands the nuances and intricacies of an account. So it's not something that you do for everyone or every account. It's something where it has to be the right inflection point with that customer to make that lift worthwhile. You really have to understand where they are and what the value is and putting that additional personalization into it.
And I guess there's a lot to be said then for really good communication between the cross-functional teams that are working on that account. As you said, that communication has to be really tight to be able to spot the signals between sales, et cetera, different teams to be able to
adapt. Yeah, anecdotal. It's the anecdotal, what folks are hearing in the field, but it's also looking at the data. What is the intent data telling us? I don't think intent data is the end all be all, but it really helps us to be informed. And there might be interest on a topic that we might not be aware of yet. But as soon as you just scratch at the surface a little bit, you can go so much deeper with that account.
Absolutely. I love that answer. Thank you. Very topical question. So how are you leveraging AI, if at all, within your content marketing efforts currently? I'd really just love to know your views on AI and where you're at with it and where you intend to go.
It's the hottest trend going right now. I think AI is here to stay. We all need to figure out how best to leverage AI to work smarter. I think it helps us increase efficiency. It can help enhance lead quality, and it's great for baseline content. You can put together something beautiful leveraging AI in a fraction of the time it would take a person to write it. However, I don't think it is the golden ticket to success. My team and I, we regularly review AI outputs, we experiment, we see what AI works really well for with our programs and areas where like we're it's a higher output on our end. But I think at the end of the day, however you're leveraging AI, you always need to ensure accuracy. You need to do your own quality control. And you also need to humanize the responses. Amy, I don't know about you, but I can glance at an email and say, this was generated for somebody versus, hey, somebody wrote this and put some thought into it. And it's very difficult for AI to personalize something in a meaningful way if they don't have the context, and the context being our own human experiences.
I completely agree. You can just spot it from a million miles off, can't you? Because it's so obvious.
And that's a rub, right? Yeah. If you're hearing from a human, you want the message to be from the human that is reaching out to you.
Yeah, it is. I think that is the thing, isn't it? You actually can cause more damage than good if it's blatantly obvious that there's just been like no human intervention in this at all, and it is just AI generated. What, not necessarily only with AI with this question, but I'm sure it'll come in. Are there any particular tools that you like to use across your content creation workflow at the moment, AI or non-AI, any particular tools that you feel that your team could almost not cope without?
I'll be honest on this one. I spent so much time in the content world. I don't spend an exorbitant amount of time on content generation today outside of just really thoughtful messages, invitations as a for instance to that financial services summit. So I'm not sure if I'm the best person to answer that question for you, even though it's a great one.
No, that's absolutely fine. Yeah, if you're not in the weeds using the tools, then there's no point in trying to guess that one. If it's absolutely fine. Do you, just on the AI topic, I was interested to know, obviously when AI brings out all this content that it spits out when you give it prompts and things like that, you never quite know whether that could be lifted and shifted from elsewhere. There can be IP infringement and all sorts of issues with AI does not do any kind of check to see whether this is owned proprietary content before it provides it. Do you guys have, across like the marketing and content function, any rules or policies yet in place for that, in terms of if anybody is using AI, this is our policy and handbook of ensuring that we don't use anything proprietary or protected or trademarks or anything like that?
Absolutely. That is something that we're Silicon Valley born. We are a tech forward company, but we are always very mindful of making sure any content that we have is our own IP and understanding the source of everything. So that is definitely an area where there is a framework and guideline in place.
Good. I'm glad to hear, because it's asking that question throughout this season, this year of the B2B Content Strategies podcast, it's been really quite mixed. And the answer more commonly has been, we know we should, but and we're aware of it, but we don't have any policies, which is great to hear.
I mean,
you guys
also
do.
If you think about it, Confluent being at the forefront of this data streaming category, AI is so near and dear to our heart, because at the end of the day, it's this framework of shifting left, meaning the closer you get to the source of the data, the cleaner it is. So for AI to be hyper successful and to be accurate, the data that's the AI, what's being generated, is only as good as the data that goes into it. So at Confluent, that shift left, the notion of the data streaming platform being the central nervous system for all of these companies, we firmly believe that the inputs that go into AI has to be coming from a good, clean place closer to the source to ensure the outputs are relevant and accurate.
Yeah, that completely makes sense. Can imagine that being just core to your culture, whatever it is, AI or not. So it makes sense. Okay, so looking into your crystal ball, so to speak, do you have any predictions over what we think B2B marketing, that content, the B2B marketing world might look like in 5-10 years or so? So like any major changes, innovations, anything that you foresee on the horizon?
I think B2B marketers, as I mentioned earlier, they really need to understand how to leverage AI to work smarter, to keep up times, to be more efficient. However, I don't see AI replacing the role of a B2B marketer in the organization. The human connection will always remain the most important. People want to build relationships. They want to have a personalized touch. So again, we can use AI And I think it's going to radically change how we work over the next 5 to 10 years, but I don't anticipate it replacing the role of what we do.
No, I completely agree. So a fun part of the episode, as we round up this great conversation, I am going to present to you the question that we had from our previous guest on B2B Content Strategist. So the question came from Michelle Asher, Director of Public Relations and B2B Marketing for Lendkey. And her question to you is,
social media for a long time has been the no-brainer go-to for content, but at least in the US, based on some turmoil, some kind of social unrest, I know a lot of people personally that are limiting their social media consumption or being very thoughtful and cautious around their social media consumption. So how has that affected content strategies, or how has it affected your content strategy? And have you made any adjustments based on that?
That is a very smart question. And it is also highly relevant in today's environment. Marketers need to think about not only where they reach people, but also how and why their content is resonating. I think at the end of the day, content marketers, you can't rely solely on social media. There needs to be an owned media component to content strategy that leverages blogs, long-form content, branded communities, and even podcasts. I think third-party platforms, whether it's a media partnership or leveraging influencers outside of social channels, maybe they have their own blog, maybe they have their own podcast, all of that should be incorporated. And at the end of the day, value-driven content is what really needs to be prioritized. Customers and prospects, they want to be informed and educated as part of their buying process. They don't want to just have a hard sell all the time. So I think the more you can take on an omni-channel approach to getting your content out there to the world and really thinking about driving that value, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic answer. It was a very interesting question.
It was a great question.
Yeah, it was very good. So yeah, thank you. That was great. And now I turn it to you for you to pose a question to our next guest, somebody who is going to be a senior leader like yourself in B2B marketing. And if there was a room full of those people and you got the chance to ask a question and learn from them, what would you like to ask?
Gosh, there are so many questions. Data is driving so much of what we do in marketing today when it comes to strategy, planning, when you're looking at success of a program. However, I firmly believe the anecdotal details help to move the needle. When you are thinking about your marketing strategy and planning, outside of the data inputs, what other cross-functional stakeholders help inform your plan?
Fantastic question. Thank you. I really look forward to the answer to that as well. You had a great question posed to you, and I think you've done an equally good job of posing a really good question. Jess, thank you so much for being on B2B Content Strategist. It's been a really good conversation, and I know that our listeners are going to gain tremendous value. So thank you for sharing so much. Is there any next step that you would like people to take? Would you like me to share your LinkedIn for a connection or anything like that?
If you would like to share my LinkedIn, that would be lovely. And thank you so much for having me. It's been a great conversation. You had some very thoughtful questions, and I look forward to checking it out and hearing who you have next.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate everybody's time. Time is precious. Thank you. So yeah, to the listeners, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we'll catch you in the next one. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of B2B Content Strategist. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode. Feel free to connect with me on social media. You can find me, Amy Woods, founder of Content 10X, on LinkedIn. If you get in touch, please do leave a message and let me know that you listen to B2B Content Strategist. You can also connect with Content 10X. We're on LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And for more insights on optimizing your content marketing and the power of repurposing, head over to content10x.com. You'll discover valuable resources to help you maximize the impact of your content. We have our sister podcast, the Content 10X podcast, hundreds and hundreds of blog posts, and a library full of free resources and guides all about how to be a better content creator and content repurposer. If you're seeking consulting support or a trusted partner to handle your content creation, repurposing and distribution, then also reach out to us. We offer a world-class, fully managed service that takes care of as much or as little as you need when you need it. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'll catch you in the next one.